Speaking of the Breeders' Cup, one of the favorites for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint figures to be this year's Grade 1 Ballerina winner, Carlos Martin, trains her. He's nice enough to join us here on Red Brand Radio. Carlos, it's Anthony and Steve Grabowski here. Thanks for some time this afternoon.
Good afternoon, boys. How's everybody today?
Everything is great. You've done an amazing job with this filly, Carlos, dating all the way back to her maiden win on her debut. That was almost 3 years ago, November of 2016. Tell us about this filly and the roller coaster ride she's taken you on so far in her career.
Well, you know this business, Anthony. You've been around all your life, like we both have, and you know it's hard to get a great horse in the barn. And right now in America, it's like five or six trainers get all the best horses. So when you get one like her, you really have to be blessed. Unfortunately, after her two-year-old first race, she got hurt and fractured her pastern bone. And we had to put a couple of screws. Dr. Nixon from Ruffian across the street did an unbelievable job. And then it's just been a labor of love and patience. Mark Holliday and the team at Blue Devil, James O'Reilly, and the people at Ocala Stud. It's been, everybody's had a part in getting her to this point. So it's just, we've been very fortunate that they've been very patient with her. And we've had some excellent people, you know, get her to this point. I play a small part. We have a great staff. The guy that's been grooming her, Mark Cario, bravo. He started with us about 30 years ago. And like I said, Dr. Nixon put the screws. Ocala Stud's had her, you know, the last 3 years, every time we've given her a break. And Mark and James have been so patient. So it's really just come together now as a five-year-old where she's been able to show that brilliance that she showed right from the very beginning.
And you talk about patience. You guys have all shown a ton of patience, the whole team. Very few horses on their card at her level have a 13-and-a-half-month break, a 6-month break, another 4-plus-month break. Talk about, you know, knowing what kind of filly, now 5-year-old mare she is, waiting for her to come back. You know, like you would any other horse, I'm sure there's plenty of anticipation, but I'm sure that's amplified with a filly of her caliber.
Well, it definitely is. I mean, anytime you get a filly of this ability and talent, you know, you're anxious to run them as much as you can and let them show their brilliance. But in this case, Mark Holliday, I have to be honest, he really took the lead in this whole thing. After she came back, we finally got her back after the pastern, and she was so brilliant at the end of her at the end of the year. And then we wound up running her in the Interborough, her first start as a 4-year-old, and all of a sudden, you know, she just didn't fire that day. She looked like she might have tried to tie up behind. Anybody else would have been like, just get her back in 3 weeks and just run her back. Well, you know, you would have made an excuse, and they would have just got mad at the horse. And he said, you know what? We know she can run. She ran a 77 buyer. She ran a 96 buyer. Now, whatever happened on the Interborough of January 1st of her 4-year-old season, I wish I could tell you. I mean, it was weird. We had like 3 days where it was below zero temperatures. I think the heat went out in Naira. It was crazy. It was just one of those weird times where I don't know if she just like pulled the muscle. I couldn't come up with anything other than she didn't run a race. She ran terrible that day. Probably the only time she didn't really put up an effort in her whole career. And Mark said, you know what? We're going to start all over again. I said, what? He said, we're going to send her back to Ocala Stud. We'll give her another 4 months. I said, that's fine if that's what you want to do. So he took the lead, and then we brought her back, and she had some more flashes of brilliance, and then at the end of the year was second in the Gopher One. There wasn't a lot then to really go on with it. We're going to bring her back. We thought she had the ability to maybe have this kind of campaign. So then again, he said, at the end of November, let's just give her some more time and bring her back as a 5-year-old. So those last two breaks kind of could have gone another way, but obviously I'm so happy the way it turned out, and we followed the boss's lead, and Come Dancing has rewarded all of us with the ride of our lives, obviously.
Hey, Carlos, Steve Grabowski here. You ran her in the Ogden Phipps. You stretched her out, and she ran huge on the inside that day, and Anthony and I were both rooting with all we had for her to keep going, and then, you know, the brilliant Midnight Pursuit steps out and runs past her. How happy are you that she actually got beat, and now you can bring her back to her best game, which is sprinting, and she's going to be huge in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, rather than having stretched her out again? I mean, sometimes things like that are just a blessing in disguise.
No doubt, Steve. It was nice to talk to you, though, so we haven't spoken in a while, but it's great. Yeah, I mean, it turned out that way. I mean, to be honest, going into that race, the way she trained, I really had a chip on my shoulder. I wouldn't say it publicly. I wasn't bragging or anything. I just really thought we were going to kick her butt that day. The filly had trained so brilliantly. And stretching her out, of course, it's a question mark because we had not done it to that point other than the Royal Delta, which we kind of got away in an easy lead over speeds favoring wet track. So there were still question marks, but with her breeding and her looks and Malibu Moon and the mare won the Demoiselle, I really wasn't too concerned about the distance. I mean, obviously that day didn't work out perfectly for us. You know, my heart of hearts, I don't know if I could have done anything different. She's so big, and she breaks fast. Everybody says she breaks slow, breaks slow, breaks slow the last couple of times. That day, she broke so fast that I think the ground just gave out from underneath her. And then kind of, Manny, great jockey, didn't do anything wrong. I wanted her on the lead, but she wound up having to go up in there in 109-4. I mean, in a perfect world, she would have broke great, and I don't know. Do I really think we could give Midnight Bijou all she can handle, even up to a mile 16? I do, but the way it was meant to be, we got beat, we regrouped, and the Ballerina was a great race. And the other day, again, I thought she ran a great race. I kind of took a little bit off the fastball. I went into it with 3.5, 4 weeks, only with one easy half-mile workout in 48-4. With her, if you watched her do it, would have her about 8 days before the race, you would have said, I think you messed up. You didn't really breeze her for this race, did you? She went like 54. No, she went 48-4 and galloped out a 101 and galloped out 114. So she's so deceptive. And, you know, a lot of the critics were saying, well, she lugged in and she did this and she did that. And it was just funny. My younger brother Jose says, you would have thought she limped home. She ran 114-4, almost broke the track record, ran a 2.5 on the sheet. And I really, you know, I'm not going to go back and forth with the Twitter wars and everybody saying this and that about her. You know, she did what she had to do. She ran the 2.5 on the sheets. She got in a little bit, yeah. You know, I think there's something about her maybe mentally getting that habit. I wish, you know, we might have the little talk with Javier and stick her in the left hand and straighten her out, because physically, you know, her races have been, you know, great. And she, to me, I can't find anything, you know, why she did that the other day. I'm just going to train her and get her ready for the Breeders' Cup, and hopefully we can end this year on a great note. I'm not going to really worry too much about it, because there's nothing that I can find really physically. And, you know, you run a 2.5 on the sheets and you almost break the track record, you know, you kind of just hope, you know, we get the right trip and set up, and I think we'll be fine, you know?
A lot of people, Carlos, did feel like you were kid gloving her a little bit from the Ballerina to the Gallant Bloom. I remember right after the Ballerina, a lot of people, a few people reported, a lot of people felt like she was going to train right up to the Breeders' Cup. Was that the original plan?
I had said that right away after the race, and I didn't think I'd get any kind of discussion about it either way, to be honest with you, because they've been pretty good. They've been with me a long time, Mark and James. They let me kind of do what I need to do. And I think I've handled her pretty good, where I didn't even consider it. I just said right away, I'm going to just wait to the Breeders' Cup and train her the way. You know, I got her ready off the layoff for the distaff with 4 or 5 works in 6 weeks, and she went 114 by her. Then we freshened her up for this race. So I said, you know what, let's just wait, and I'll just take my shot for the championship and let the dice fall where it may. And I figured I could definitely, you know, she's such a national athlete. You don't have to be a genius to get her ready off for us, to be honest. She trains herself pretty good. You just got to keep her happy and sound. And you've set a schedule for her, and, you know, she gets so much out of her gallops that that never was a concern for me as far as timing was. And but then, you know, I kind of wrestled with the fact after a couple of weeks watching her, how good she was doing. And selfishly, you know, I knew it was going to probably be her last race at Belmont. And the more I struggled with it and went back and forth and the timing of the Breeders' Cup, I just my gut instinct, you know, and I had some discussions back and forth with James and Mark. It wasn't an easy decision. I didn't think the 125 was a big deal. They were a little bit concerned, and, you know, there was a lot of back-and-forth discussion. At the end of the day, Mark said, you know what? He gave me a great saying. He said, you've done a great job with her. The decision is yours to make about a week before. And I didn't think – he initially had said he thought it was a great idea to get the Gallant Bloom in after I said that we weren't going to. So we both were kind of like back and forth. But then he said, you know what? It's your decision to make. And I guess the best words he used were own the outcome. So I said, you know what? I'm going to own the outcome. I'm going to run her instead of training her up to the 10 weeks. And thank God, I think it worked out well. And I think, you know, with 5 starts under her belt, I think I'm sitting where I want to be sitting, actually, the way it turned out.
Talking with trainer Carlos Martin, he has come dancing. You know, we've got about 5 weeks till the Breeders' Cup World Championship. She'll be one of the, if not the favorite, for the Fillion Mare Sprint. How does that feel to hear, Carlos? You've never run a horse in the Breeders' Cup. We still have some time to get there, but with everything you've been through with this filly, can you believe you're finally on that road to the Breeders' Cup with her?
It's surreal. You know, you grew up with such spoiled with great horses with my father and my grandfather, and going over there and get beat with Groovy when I was a young man in 87 and 86 as the favorite in the sprint. So, you know, you always have those memories thinking you're going to get back there, you know, and my dad was on such a roll in the 80s, and my grandfather, of course, and you know, you take it for granted, and it's so hard to get those type of horses, you know, for the smaller stables. You know, you have to really appreciate it. But I'm excited about the opportunity. Obviously, it would be a dream to win a Breeders' Cup race and to keep the family name going. And, you know, it's a lot of pride involved. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in my mind and a lot of emotion. But, you know, I'm kind of just in a selfish sort of way, in a cocky sort of way. I think I've been ready for this moment. you know, for a long time being with all these good horses, and I think it's hopefully our time to make a little bit of history and to win the Breeders' Cup and put that trophy in the old family home in Long Island would be definitely the way to end the year.
Do you have any sort of timeline, any kind of schedule for Come Dancing as to a training schedule, when you're going to get out there? Are you going to give her a workout over the track? Have you thought about any of this yet?
I was going back and forth with that, too. And, you know, we were going back and saying the old school way, like Dad likes to go out there early, and Asmussen goes there probably September 30th. He goes out early with all his horses. Nowadays, a lot of people go the week of. You know, the last fight out is October 28th, and I wrestled with that a little bit. And Mark and James, we kind of had a little brief discussion. They also left it up to me, and they said, you know what? Do what you feel in your gut. And I was initially thinking I was going to wait till the last minute. Then I said I was going to go early. And I wrestled with all these things. You know, you always want to see what the best is for your horse. And you go back to knowing your own horse, and you try to you have ideology of what people have done that have been successful. So, you know, there have been so many great trainers, how they've gotten to the Breeders' Cup. But at the end of the day, she's doing so good here at Belmont. She's comfortable. She's got her routine. The training track, you know, we've been training there for 35 years since I was a kid. My dad had all his top horses, Noble Nashua, Groovy, Lakeville Miss, you know, probably about 30 grade one winners on that training track at Belmont. It's a safe track, and she seems to be thriving on it. So I decided to just wait. I'm going to keep her here as long as I can. Like I said, the last flight out with Texan is October 28th. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with my gut and keep her in her same routine, keep her at Belmont, and just, you know, come in the week of 5 days before, and hopefully it'll be the right decision, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I'll be at Mohegan Sun. It's Steve's birthday that day. You know, there's not going to be two people rooting harder for you. Best of luck in the Breeders' Cup, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, and keep her healthy and keep her fit. Come Dancing, one of the favorites for the Philly and Mayor Sprint. Carlos, thanks for some time today.
Thanks, Carlos.
All right, boys. I appreciate it very much. Take care, gang.